title of my message this morning is I Need Your Presence, Lord. I need Your Presence. Have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. Chris had no insight for what my scripture was or what I was going to be preaching on today. And I didn't know what songs he was going to sing, but God knew all about it. The last part of verse number 12 says, God speaking to Moses, I know your name. Aren't you glad God knows your name? Moses said unto the Lord, see that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. It's just the way we are. We feel like we've got to have a crutch, and God's our crutch. And God's our safety net. Hello? But he said, yet thou hast said, Moses talking to God, but thou hast said, I know you by your name. My. Hopefully that's resonating somewhere. And that thou hast found grace in thy sight. I've found grace in your sight. Lord, you know my name. Now, therefore, I pray thee that I have found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way. How many knows we know we've got to find God's way? That I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Speaking of the Jews, those that come out of Egypt. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. And he said, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't send us at all. Lord, if you're not with us, if you're not going with us, we ain't going either. For therein shall I know here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. It is not that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated. And I, thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth, we are living in desperate times, but in these desperate times, we desperately need more of God, and we cannot be separated from him. And he said unto thee, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Verse 17, I skipped it, said, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Somebody say glory. Moses said, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim thy name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy in whom I will be gracious. Show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place. Somebody say, there's a place. Thou shalt stand upon the rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the clift of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hands while I pass by. And I will take away my hands, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not be seen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We have often heard, read, discussed about how we cannot see God's glory because of his awesomeness and because of his goodness. And he, that's so true. He is absolutely awesome, and he is in our presence today. He's in our presence today, but there's some good news. There's some good news. Now, I'm not sure if you really realize how important it is for us to be in God's presence and for him to be with us. I'm not talking about just the presence that is in the, that he's in the general vicinity. We sometimes don't want him to get too close. But I'm not talking about a presence where he is in the general vicinity. I'm talking about in our presence that it makes a difference in our lives. Like what we were singing about. Huh? I'm not talking about the general vicinity like, well, I need to go to the bank. It's just two blocks away. Or I need to go see my doctor. He's just down the street. Or even in the general vicinity of where our mom and dad is, that they can run to us in the circumstances if it deems necessary. I'm not talking about that kind of presence. Hello? So how can we be in God's presence? If we're not allowed to see Him face to face, how is it possible to experience that closeness without a personal encounter? Well, church, I've got good news. If you'll stay awake for just a little bit this morning, I've got good news for you that we can see His presence. It's because His Son has come to redeem us and to be with us. He is fully God. He is fully man. And because of that, we can experience a face-to-face encounter with the Almighty God. But it's going to look different than just a vicinity. I'd like for us to take a few moments to look at some folks that had that close encounter with God and see what that encounter did for them and what that desire for them to be close to the Creator, how it affected their lives. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, we all know the scripture very well, but I want to read the two after that as well. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Verse 12, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Oh, glory to God. Listen, there is a difference in the way that we seek Him. There's a difference in the way that we seek Him. We can seek Him for what He can give us. Hello? Or you can call upon Him and seek Him for who He is. Who He is. There are those who follow Jesus in the Word of God. We read about it. For those who loved Him for the loaves and the fishes. But there was others who followed him simply because they loved Him and for who He was. Amen. Made a difference in their lives. I've told Sister Diane several times in our experience of life together that I was so sorry I wasn't born richer instead of so good looking. Amen. I need no comments. Okay. But indeed, that is a good thing, and that's okay. She's okay with that. You know why? Because she loves me for who I am, not what I have. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. When we desire Christ, when we desire God's presence, we seek His presence for who He is. And when we do that, we will not be disappointed. There was times in the past that only one that experienced the presence of God was the high priest. When they went into the holies of holies to offer the sacrifice unto the Lord God Almighty. It was only the high priest that was able to be in the presence of God. It was the high priest when the glory of God fell inside the holies of holies, that the bells on the end of the robe would begin to jingle. Now, if you study and you look into that a little bit, you'll find that on the end of the priest's robe, there was a bell, skip a space, and a pomegranate, skip a space, and a bell, skip a space, and a pomegranate. In that aspect, when the glory of God fell and they begin to shout because God accepted the sacrifice, they would begin to dance and the bells would begin to ring. The reason that there, are you hearing me? The reason that there was a pomegranate between the bells is so the bells themselves would not clang together, but they would give out a distinct and clear and a worship sign that it was a pure ring and a pure clanging of that bell, and there wasn't anything that would disturb around about it, but it was a clear and distinct sign. It was a sound that was true, and those wasn't clinging together to make an uncertain sound. We find that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells the church there that without love or without charity, we become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In Arkansas, Oklahoma language, if we do not have the love of God and not giving a clear signal of that, we become a ding-a-ling. We become a clatter and not a distinct sound of God's glory. It's only through Him. You see the comparison? God knew exactly what He was doing, and when He implemented that into the Old Testament, to the high priest robe, He also implemented that into our lives to where we also would give a clear and distinct and true sound. That was a lot more gooder than what you was amening me on that. There was some encounters that the men and women of God found in the Word of God because they desired His presence. I thought it was so beautiful when we were singing this morning. The majority of you could tell, was intently seeking the presence of God and allowing Him to come into your heart and your soul. And I was beaming inside because I knew the message that God had given me to give to you today to help you understand that it's imperative that we get the presence of God and we walk in the presence of God. Well, Pastor, how in the world can we walk in the presence of God with the world in which we live in? All we have to do is stay focused on Him. A few weeks ago, I told you about staying focused on Him. We stay focused on Him. Isaiah's encounter is described in chapter 6 of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And 100 times we've heard the message, the longer the train upon royalty, the more majesty, the more power that He has. But His train filled the temple, and He has all majesty. He has all power. I said all. And above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. We're talking about a powerful God with the glory and the honor and the majesty that only He has. And we are able to sit in His presence now because He came from glory. He come down as a man and dwelt among us. And He took sin upon His own shoulder, and He brought into us a relationship that we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We now can go boldly to the throne of grace. Isaiah said, "Then said I, woe, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He is a holy God. God done some awesome things, transcending to man that relationship that only He could. While He told Moses, "You can't see me because any man sees me and dies," because of the mercy and the grace of God. What Brother Chris was talking about, God's mercy, God's grace. It's because of that that we now, through His Son Jesus Christ, can walk boldly into the throne of grace. Boldly to the throne of grace. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Are you ready? When I seen Isaiah's words, he said, "Woe is me." My words begin to as I begin to type them and put on the page, it says, "Woe, woe, woe." And that's how I was feeling at 3:00 Friday morning when God began to speak to my heart concerning this. Woe, woe, woe. We enter church. We enter. We totally have a disillusionment by the presence of God. We treat it as it's just something else that happens. We're so wrong. We're so wrong. He is a holy God. We enter His sanctuary many times. As I mentioned at the beginning of service, we are to enter His courts with thanksgiving. We're entered into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And so many times, hear me, don't get upset at me yet. Stay awake. We enter His sanctuary so many times with all of our baggage, wanting to talk to God about everything but His glory. We want to talk about everything to everybody but God's glory. We bring our drama and all of our petty issues we've created through the week and want God to make it all go away. Well, I've got something to tell you this morning. This ain't no kangaroo court. Come on. I still love you. We're going somewhere. This ain't no kangaroo court. And He ain't no judge that is for hire. We're talking about a holy God. Somebody's gonna connect with me here in just a second, okay? We're talking about a holy God, that His majesty can't be compared to any other. He's a God that has the attention of heaven. I said He's a God that has the attention of heaven. You'll find in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, you'll find that the creatures there, they begin to praise and they begin to worship God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night. The Bible says they do not rest because they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Day and night they're crying, "Holy." Come on, somebody. We're talking about a God that has come down to man to bring us a salvation, that is bringing us the good news, that has brought us grace. I'm talking about a majestic God that loves you and cares for you, and He has the full attention of heaven. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am, the lily of the valley and the bright morning star. He is to Ezekiel the wheel in the middle of the wheel. To Daniel, He was the lion tamer who conquered. To Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He was no problem that He could quench the fire, regardless of how big or how hot. To Jeremiah, He was the fire that was shut up in His bones. In the New Testament, we see Him as a sea walker, the blind man healer, the leper cleansing man that came out of a little town called Nazareth that nobody thought anything good could come out of. And yet He conquered every storm. Oh, glory to God. He defeated every demon. His death could not stop Him. He walked through the gates of hell and took the keys away from Satan and stripped him, whipped him, and defeated him. And He walked, and we walk into His house so nonchalant that there's no wonder we don't have enough power of God to blow the fuzz off a peanut. Listen, when we get serious about being in the presence of God, and I have never been more serious than I am right now, when we are serious about walking in the presence of God, it's going to change some people. It's going to make a difference in our attitude. It's going to get adjusted. You're not going to have that hateful spirit anymore. Sweet presence of God is going to permeate from your life. When we focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we come into His house and to His presence, we're not worried about the sports that happened yesterday. We're not worried about the blue light specials or shopping that we just conquered. We're not worried about what we're going to have for dinner after a while. But we're desiring to be in the very presence of the King. And nothing else matters because we've got to get close to Him. We just sung that song where we sit on His lap. We kneel on His chest. And we feel His heartbeat. Can I come to tell you today, church, that when we get close enough to God, we're going to be able to be in the presence of God to where there's a difference in our language, there's a difference in our demeanor, there's a difference in our attitude, and we're so close to Him that very presence and very radiance of Jesus Christ is going to permeate upon us, and no longer are we going to smell like the world, but we're going to have the fragrance of Jesus Christ that's on our heart and upon our life, because we are desiring to be in the presence of God 24/7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me and said, "I have in a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, mine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. In verse number 8, he said, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And then said I, Isaiah stood to attention and said, Lord, here am I want you to send me, because he was in the very presence of God. I want you to know it'll make a difference in what you want to do, and how the rest of your day goes when you're in the presence of God. When we desire His presence, our desire will be, Oh God, will you take a coal off of the altar? Will you lay it on my lips of clay? Lord, will you take away all my iniquity? Will you take away all my sins and purge me? And I will shout from the top of the rooftop and from the top of my lungs, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me for your purpose and for your plan. That's the difference the presence of God makes. That's the difference the presence of God makes. Jacob had an encounter with God that I just preached about a few weeks ago, or maybe last week. Jacob was left alone, Genesis chapter 32, and there he wrestled with the man until the breaking of day. It seems like in many, many cases, if not most cases, when we only want to get in the presence of God is when life deals with us in such a way that we don't know what else to do. That's where Jacob was. He had a confrontation with his brother. And he was very much aware his brother was going to take him out and his family out. That's why he separated them. But he needed to tie the talk with God. When he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, talking. It's been interpreted whether it was the Lord himself, whether it was an angel of the Lord. It could have been Micah. It could have been Gabriel, but Michael usually is the warring angel. It could have been one of them, but it could have been God himself. He felt like it was, because he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. Touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And this is what, can I tell you, church, this is what happens when we really hunger for God. When we get down to business with God, we'll wrestle for the answer to have, and to we have a complete and new perspective on how we are to walk and act. And he said to me, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, if y'all don't say amen, I got the wind whistling through the door that's preaching with me this morning. I know some of you wondering, what in the world is that? And he said unto me, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name will no more call Jacob, but Israel, for thou art the prince, has power with God and with men, and has prevailed and has touched him. Have you gotten to a place that you were so intense with God that he has spoken your name? Does he know you by name? Does he know you by name? Jacob answered him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob was called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. That's the mercy and the grace of God. Moses said, I can't see God face to face, or God told him he couldn't. And here we find that Jacob said, I've seen God face to face. That's the mercy and the grace of God. And he has passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you today, when we get in the presence of God and we get up in the morning and we walk in the presence of God. We go to our job and we walk in the presence of God. We come home and we walk in the presence of God. We go to bed in the presence of God. We are going to have a change in our demeanor. We're going to have a change in our attitude. We're going to have a change in our walk. We're not going to be the same person. They may still call you Mike, Larry, George, Tom, Paul, but you're not the same person. You're not the same person. I want to share with you John's encounter. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. I'm just trying to share with you today that it's so imperative that we learn to walk in the very presence of God. It's not like your job, working 8 hours and moving on to something else, but it's daily. It's constant. It's hourly, 24/7. Hello? I assure you, if you think it's anywhere different, when you get out of that presence, the time that the trumpet's going to sound. John's encounter, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice call, like calling as a war trumpet, saying, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last." He said, "Write promptly what you see in this vision in the book." And I sent it to the seven churches in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see who it was that spoke the voice that spoke to me. And as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Are you hearing me? And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet, and with a girdle of gold about his breast. His head and his hair were white like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. His feet glowed like burning bright bronze, as it was refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth there went forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun that shined in the power of midnight. And when I saw him, this is what happened to John. He said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. But he laid his right hand upon me and said, 'Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last.'" Can somebody say glory? I'm the first and the last. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. His majesty, his glory, his presence was so much there that John couldn't see. Stand before him. Amen. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 6 says this: "For thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no other God." Amen. Oh my. I inserted verse 6 of chapter 44 of Isaiah between the 17th and the 18th verses of Revelation. "And the ever living one, I am living in the eternity of the eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of death. Write therefore the things that you see, with they are simplified, and what is to take place hereafter." He was given John and the whole kit and caboodle of what was and is. Give them in segments, but he told John what was going to happen. Amen. Besides him, there is no other. Beside him, there is no other. How many is hungry to be in the presence of God? Amen. It'll make you walk different, make you talk different, make you act different. What these church have experienced were not your typical everyday encounter. Last Sunday night, sitting there on the altar, was not my everyday typical encounter. I am so thankful for the presence of God. Whether you felt it like I did or not, that's between you and God. But you can. But I haven't felt like that in a long, long, long time. And I didn't want to leave. And I've tried to occupy that through the whole week. These experiences that these men and women have felt throughout the Bible was not your everyday encounter. And through God's mercy and grace, some of these encounters and His presence and glory, and in some cases it was even very special. And each of these encounters of His presence made a drastic change in their lives. In some cases even changed their name. We serve an awesome God. An awesome God. I don't believe that we can have such an encounter with such a holy God that it will not make a specific and definite change in our lifestyle and our walk. Hello? I'm not talking about Pastor Mike. I'm talking about your encounter with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that now, because of Jesus Christ, we're able to come into the holies of holies? Because of Jesus Christ, we're able to see Him face to face. Because of Jesus Christ, He sent us the Holy Ghost that we might have that encounter. I believe it will make a definite change in our lifestyle and in our walk. And with that being said, I'm totally confident that any individual can have the kind of encounter with God as they experienced in His presence in such a divine way as these in the Word of God did. You see, through God, though God is holy, and He is, and He sent His only begotten Son, fully God, fully man, that would span the gap of that relationship between God and man. And you can rest assured that within ourselves, all of our holiness could sit on the sharp end of a straight pin. But God. But it is because of His Son, Jesus Christ, that left heaven's splendor to encounter Himself with the sins of the whole world, that we might be made reconciled, bring back in relationship to Holy God, that desires for you to have full fellowship with Him. He did that for you. He did that for you. Without any guarantee that anyone would accept it. He did it for you. Bringing back into relationship that we might have with a holy God. And He Himself desires for you to have fellowship and walk in His Spirit, that we might have that encounter and be able to know His presence daily. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, "This is I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Seeing then we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but with all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Where are we at? Are we just hoping that He's in the vicinity? Are we walking in His presence? Are we really walking in His presence? Church, it's for this reason that we can now experience the glory of Almighty God. It is in His very presence that we can experience the kind of love and joy and peace that passes all understanding. In times past, those that needed to talk to God had to have an arbitrator, which I've already told you was the high priest. But because of God's Son, only begotten Son, willingly offered His life as a sacrifice for sin, we now have an advocate. We now have an intercessor. We now have a big brother that not only will present our petition to the Father, but we are able to cry, "Abba, Father," ourselves, that we might experience His holy presence. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Galatians chapter 4 said, "But when the fullness of time had come," let me say fullness. "When the fullness of time has come." You see, it wasn't a limitation on God when I felt like I did Wednesday night, but it was me getting a position of His presence to feel God. Hello. It wasn't anything God was limited to, but it was me getting in the position. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption. Even in this life, those that have been adopted have more privilege than blood kin. We have been adopted into the kingdom of God. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Listen, did you grab that? Verse 6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts." Crying, "Abba, Father." Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. I'm almost to my last page of my notes. Don't mean I'm finished, but I'm almost there. Abba Father can be translated as Daddy. Suggesting that it is a childlike thing. An intimate term for one's father. An intimate term for one's father. I don't know about you, maybe you can relate to this. But if I was serious about something, I would say, when I talk to my dad, I'd say, Father, you think you could spare me $10 to get a milkshake this afternoon? Or if I was wanting to say, hey, Daddy, I got $10. You know, go to the malt shop and we'll get one together. If any of you's got an extra $10 and want to go to the malt shop, I'll show you how to get one. How appropriate it is for God to send His only begotten Son, listen, to mend a relationship. Adam and Eve messed it up. They got up on the wrong foot. But God sent His only begotten Son that He might mend that relationship between the Creator and His children, to make an open door that we might have fellowship, friendship, and a relationship as His child. How much more intimate could it be? For Father God hath made it through a sacrificial sacrifice of His own Son. And because of that, He has now made us heirs and joint heirs with Him through a personal relationship with Him who has made us. Chris, y'all will come to the piano. He has made it so personal. He has made it so personable that He has given us an invitation to sit on His lap, to share with Him His deepest concerns. It is there where we feel His heartbeat. It is there where we take on the aroma of His presence. And it should be our ultimate goal, church, to walk daily in His presence. Where people can sense that we have been walking and talking with Him minute by minute, circumstance by circumstance, because we have allowed His fragrance to fill the space where we are present, because we are in His presence. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Would you stand with me all over the building today? My prayer is, Psalms chapter 67, verse 1 and 2. God, be merciful and gracious to us. Bless us and cause Your face to shine upon us and among us, Selah. That word Selah means that we need to pause and think about what we just said. And He goes on in verse 2, that Your way may be known upon the earth. Your saving power, Your deliverance, and Your salvation among all nations. We serve a holy God. He desires for you to be heirs and joint heirs, children with Him, in that relationship to that is so personal. I wonder today, we've still got plenty of time. I wonder today who would just slip out of your seat, come and stand in front of the altar.